fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, stop humming, it's everything to change.
The change.
That warp tool make you open your brain.
Open your brain.
Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name. Hey,
hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always go. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into America's Game, episode 123. I'm your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. And this week, I am joined once again by Matt Bruning of CampusToCanton.com. Matt, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, you know. Excited to jump on and talk a little college football. It's probably going to be a lot more fun than discussing anything with the Cleveland Browns. We both had a little bit more hope to start this year. It's not quite been quite the year I'm sure either one of us was expecting.
No. I probably could have predicted this, but I was hoping it would be a little bit better. But they just need to blow it up. They should have traded Myles Garrett last year and got three firsts. I mean, they could probably still get three firsts for him. He's still damn good, but there's no point in having him anymore.
Yeah. At least we got the Buckeyes, right? You know, I'm sure we'll talk about them here in a little bit. At least we got the Buckeyes. Sucks they didn't win the Big Ten championship, but still, I would say, a favorite to win the national championship.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad they got the loss out of the way now, you know. Usually that's what happens, Alabama or Georgia, they lose that one game, the SEC championship game or whatever, and then they just go on and just smash everybody. So that's kind of what I'm hoping there with Ohio State. But college season just wrapped up, all the bowl games and all that. What was your overall takeaways of this college season? Because I thought this season was kind of weird in a way.
Yeah, I think what we saw this year is going to end up being more of the norm moving forward. And what I mean by that is it didn't feel like any team was really truly dominant. I mean, you could even say, right, Ohio State up until this Big Ten championship game, it was them and Indiana were the only two teams that were left undefeated, obviously. Now it's just Indiana going into the playoffs. And I think a lot of that has just been the dispersal of talent. NIL has kind of changed the college football landscape, not just in the transfer portal, but also in recruiting. I mean, we've just seen a five-star quarterback, the top quarterback in his class, flip from Georgia to Vanderbilt, which is not something I ever thought I would say in my lifetime. We've seen probably a little bit more of a realistic flip. We saw the number one wide receiver in this class, Tristan Keys, who probably is not quite Jeremiah Smith, but is a wide receiver that could be a massive difference for any college football team, flip from LSU to Tennessee because of NIL. So, I mean, we're seeing a dispersal of talent we have not seen in a long time. And I think, again, a lot of that just comes down to NIL, which I think is going to continue to make the college football product probably a bit more even, like we kind of see with the NFL. I mean, granted, I know the Chiefs are, you know, winning every year. And I mean, this year they've not been quite as good as they have been in the past. But, you know, as a team, you could expect to be in the playoffs competing for a Super Bowl. And when you would look at college football side of things, it'd be the Alabamas, the Ohio States of the world, the Georgias were kind of that, especially Alabama and how dominant they were for a decade plus with Nick Saban. And now we're kind of seeing that changing completely. And I think that's here to stay.
Yeah, you said he transferred to Tennessee, and I said, ugh, because I'm like, Tennessee wide receivers, that's where you go to die. hasn't been any good ones in a long time.
You're not wrong there. What I will say, the good news for that side of things, if you're listening and you know you're remembering, you know, the Jalen Hyatts, the Cedric Tillmans of the world, Tristan Keys is a very refined route runner and wide receiver as it is. So going to Tennessee, I don't think is going to hinder his development much. Probably not going to expand much more of that route tree there. They're probably going to have him do a couple different things, but he is a very, very good wide receiver. One of my highest graded wide receivers I've had since being at camps to camp.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I thought this season was just kind of weird because there, like you said, there was really no dominant team. Like, you know, Ohio State was for the most part, but it's not like, you know, they had some high flying 40-point, you know, per game offense, really. I mean, their schedule, it looked okay to begin the season. Like, they had a couple of tough games, but obviously Penn State fell off and a couple of these teams fell off, and it was really just like a cupcake schedule all the way to the championship game. Obviously, Texas was a huge game. They got over that first hurdle, but
yeah,
it was just kind of like a weird season. Like, and also, I just felt like there wasn't any, like, star power. There wasn't, like, that Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner, you know, Brady Quinn, these types of guys that are just household names. Like, there just wasn't anybody that really, like, stood out this year to me. I don't know if you kind of felt the same.
Yeah, I mean, right now, what they announced, the Heisman votes on Monday, and I think it's Julian Sain, Fernando Mendoza, Jeremiah Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt quarterback. The second time, you know, in a segment here, we're talking about Vanderbilt quarterbacks making names for themselves. Yeah, it's been a year of interesting play, and it's something one of the co-founders here at Camps to Canton has kind of talked a lot about behind the scenes. I know he's tweeted a lot about it. It's like, it just seems like right now college football is kind of void of a lot of that star talent. I mean, Jeremiah Smith, I expect to be there. But even if you go to like last year, you know, we were talking about Ryan Williams, wide receiver at Alabama, possibly in the guy. He had a massive drop off this year. We haven't seen, I think, kind of what drives both sports is the quarterback position, right? Specifically for fantasy. We're kind of lacking in those guys as well. We thought maybe Dylan Raiola a couple classes ago was going to be that dude, DJ Lagway of Florida. Both those guys have kind of struggled. I mean, I love Sam Leavitt. We talked about him as possibly coming out of the draft last year. Injury season, rumors of hitting the – I don't think it's official yet. I don't want to throw myself under a bus. Rumors of him hitting the transfer portal. Like, we're kind of lacking those top-end guys there. You know, I think, unfortunately, you know, a team we don't necessarily like to talk about, that team up north, might have that guy in Bryce Underwood, but he didn't even have a phenomenal freshman season. So it definitely feels like we're kind of lacking at some of those prime positions we want for fantasy for a bunch of studs. We kind of have like a name here or two at each position.
Yeah, Underwood, I think he had 9 touchdown passes. That's it. Like, how do you just go 9 touchdown passes a season? Yeah. That's crazy. I just kind of felt like there was just no real star power. But I do think, like, this 2026 class for the NFL draft is going to be kind of next year. Like, if everybody just plays, like, and everybody comes back, like, I'm expecting them to come back, like, next year's class could be the best class in NFL history, honestly.
Are you talking about the quarterback position?
I just all around the wide receivers. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some running backs that pop in there, but especially quarterback and receiver for next year is absolutely insanely loaded.
Yeah, I mean, having two players, I mean, just the wide receiver position alone, if we just stick there, if you're talking about Jeremiah Smith, who we just mentioned, and then, what's his name? Cam Coleman is another one who's just an absolute stud there for Auburn. Could be also a player that, I mean, is easily one of the top picks in the NFL draft and should be considered a top pick for you in your fantasy.
Oh, draft. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Williams, but he had a shit year. Yeah. He hasn't really done anything, but, I mean, all those Clemson kids, Nick Marsh, you know, I'm just kind of going down the list here. They're just guys after guys after guys. And then, I mean, quarterback, I mean, this could be our next topic. I mean, I honestly think the only quarterback who comes out is Mendoza. I think everybody else goes back, personally, like, of relevance. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, which I actually don't. I mean, Saiyan can't, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, yeah, so, he can't.
I mean, yeah, I can't. I just mentioned Levitt a minute ago, right? Like, I can't imagine Levitt is going to come out after the year that he had. Right. I just don't see why he would, I guess, is the way to put it. With the year that he had, I mean, he was good at the beginning of the season, dealt with some injuries, and really just kind of fell off. I mean, Lenora Sellers is an interesting one for me, I think, because of his athletic profile. He could come out.
I think he needs to go back.
I don't disagree with you. I do think he should go back, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's a Anthony Richardson all over again. I mean, if he goes and gets his grade and they're like, we have you as a top five pick, how do you not just come out and hope for the best? And I think I said this on one of our shows on Camps to Canton, like, I don't think Anthony Richardson's thought process was wrong in just the thing of like, if I'm being told I'm going to be a top 10 pick, why not go to the NFL? Because I'm going to get better coaching there. I think that's 100% right, especially with the coaching that he's gotten, that Sellers has gotten at South Carolina. So I think that it would be smart for him to possibly come out. I mean, Dante Moore, I don't think it's been confirmed. I think it would behoove him to go back for another year. Now, what is Oregon going to look like? Obviously, Will Stein, their offensive coordinator, who did great things for Bo Nix and who was before Don Gabe.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Real.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our quarterback. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was trying to remember. Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix there at Oregon got them drafted. Bo Nix in the first round, I never expected Dylan Gabriel in the third either. Right. So, I mean, he did massive things for them, but he's gone now. He went to Kentucky. He's their new head coach. So does Dante Moore come out because he doesn't know what that offense is going to look like? I mean, Arch, if he comes out, he's going to get drafted solely on name alone if someone says he's a first round
pick. Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, I think all those guys probably have to come back. I'm trying to think of who. I mean, Nussmeier, unfortunately, I think
he has to come out.
Yeah, he has to. I don't know what that looks like for him. I guess Simpson could go back. I'll be curious. He really fell off toward the back end of this season.
Right, yep.
And probably the other big name one in that 2025 class is John Mateer. Same thing. I mean, he was great to start the year, then got that hand injury. I don't know if that was really the reason he's played poorly. I would say it's not, but he could use that as maybe a reason why he'd get drafted early, but I think it would also benefit him to come back for one year.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of listening to some other, you know, podcasts like Todd McShay and that, and he's kind of talked about it, like, you know, the rumors of Sellers to, like, maybe the Hurricanes, like, that's been around for, like, a month now, it seems like, so I don't know if that's going to happen. Dante Moore, I think he's more up in the air now. I think I felt, you know, with Will Stein and Dan Lanning and those guys, like, all staying there, like, I figured, okay, he's probably going to go back one more year, but with Stein leaving, it's a possibility, I think, but from everything McShay said and his, like, sources have said that, you know, his parents and, you know, people are telling him, hey, you know, you need to go back one more year. So I've kind of, you know, I see some of these mock drafts and he's always like the top five pick. And if he comes out, he probably is, to be honest with you. But I think it benefit him to go back and, you know, play another season at Oregon, to be personal about it. So we'll see. I just think, like, this might just be a one quarterback class and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that for a while now, and it's going to be Mendoza, and he's not even a guy that I think I would take top 10. Like, he's got a really good arm. He's a very accurate passer. Yeah. He's going to, I think, be a very good, and I know a lot of people take this as a negative, a game manager, but again, I think from, like, a fantasy perspective, that's not necessarily a quarterback we want. But I do think he'll be very good for the NFL in that sense, but he's not going to bring you a ton from the athletic perspective. You know, even when Ty Simpson was getting all his hype, I was like, I think if you guys actually go watch his games, you'll see he's missing a lot of throws. He's not quite as good as people are giving him credit for. And I think we've kind of seen that over the past back half of this season.
Yeah, I think another season for him would hugely benefit Ty Simpson for sure. You talked about Levitt. Yeah, well, his injuries and, you know, rumors of him kind of leaving, going somewhere else. I think he could, you know, be gone or, you know, stay in college, but be gone from Arizona State.
Yeah.
Arch, you know, the rumors all year long have been he's going to stay. So, yeah, I just really think all these guys are going to stay. So you add all these guys that we just talked about, and we haven't really talked about Julian Sain and, you know, some of these other quarterbacks that are eligible for next year's draft. Like, I don't know about you personally. I think if I had to put money on it right now, the 2027 number one overall pick's Julian Sain.
He might be. I think the big thing is going to come down to, again, which one of these quarterbacks, you know, come back. Because here's the thing. Right. Like you just mentioned, you know, Sellers, I think, ceiling-wise, is so much higher than Julian Sain. I would say the same thing for Sam Levitt and Arch Manning, if they can figure that part out. There's actually a 2025, we just mentioned John Mateer. When we did talk about Josh Hoover as well, like, he's got an absolute cannon for an arm. He's also a very athletic quarterback, so he's another one who could be very impressive overall with what he can do. So I think all of those guys, you know, could be drafted higher than Sain. My biggest issue with Sain is he doesn't quite have the arm strength, in my opinion, to be considered a top-end quarterback. I think if you really, you know, for those of you who may not watch Ohio State like Eric and I do every week, you'll see that he kind of underthrows his wide receiver, specifically on deep balls, a lot. Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith bailed him out a lot. But I think if you, again, you're an Ohio State quarterback, if you put up better numbers than you did this year, 2 years in a row, possibly, or at least we'll just say competing for another national championship. We don't know if they'll win it this year, even next year. Yeah, I expect him to be a first-round pick, but I think there are definitely players ahead of him or could be ahead of him in that class. Just, I mean, even DJ Lagway, who's got – just incredible upside and just injuries this year just like made him look like a shell of himself. Does he go to Miami, you know, with everything, all the changes going on with Florida and then rebound his career as well, like we saw with Cam Ward? Like, there's so many permutations in college football right now. We're like, so many, like, so I don't disagree. It's like next year's class, we could be talking about what's that famous class where like, all those quarterbacks came
83,
out.
83, yeah.
Yeah, we could be talking about something like that where we're talking about, you're talking 7 to 10 quarterbacks that are decent and then like 5 or 6 of those possibly even hitting. So, I mean, it could be a massive class next year.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. And like, you know, all my dynasty leagues, I'm just trying to acquire all the 27 picks that I can at this point. So I want them all. You brought up Lagway too. That was one guy I wanted to mention. Like that was my number one quarterback coming into the year. Obviously he had a terrible season and Florida's been an awful. Do you think he transfers out and where would you like to see him land?
I really want to see what – so John Summerall, who is the most recent Tulane head coach, I believe he's probably staying with Tulane now they made the playoffs, which is insane to say out loud.
Right.
I'll be very curious to see what Lagway does, because when Summerall gave his press conference with Florida, he actually came out and said that Florida's offense, it needs to be one of the most explosive offenses in college football, which leans into what you would want, hopefully, from a quarterback like DJ Lagway. So maybe he's going to give that time. I actually think they hired an offensive coordinator. I can't remember what his name is off the top of my head. But if it is, and he is a like decent offensive coordinator, like I wouldn't be surprised if Lagway stays. I don't know where he would go, because I don't know that Miami – I think Miami would be a good fit for him in the fact that Cristobal is not going to ask him to do anything crazy, which I do think is where Lagway gets himself in trouble a little bit sometimes with playing the hero ball. They'll ask him to pass from the pocket, which could help him a little bit in getting better there. So I wouldn't hate that landing spot, but I don't know where else he would go that could really kind of boost his stock instead of honestly just staying in Florida. They have the wide receivers around him, and they have a good running back in Jaden Ball. So like he's got the team around him to be good.
I wonder if Lane Kiffin comes knocking and tries to get into LSU.
Would not be a bad thing. Buster Faulkner, Georgia Tech's offensive coordinator, with what we saw. I mean, which again, you know, from our perspective, fantasy perspective, right? That's a great thing for us because we saw what he did with Haynes King and DJ Lagway, better passer, better athlete than Haynes King. So, like, just from a fantasy perspective, it would be great to see him run that kind of offense. But yeah, LSU is actually a good one because obviously with Nussmeier leaving, they do not have that guy in their room right now. So Lane Kiffin will likely hit the portal to bring somebody in.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be the favorite to land Sellers, Levitt, Lagway, you know, any of those guys that could be switching programs here. I think he's got to be the favorite to land one of those guys. Dylan Raiola, is he going to transfer out too? I don't know. Did he officially go in?
He hasn't yet, but I would say all signs are pointing. I mean, his brother decommitted a couple weeks ago, and they just fired his uncle as the offensive line coordinator. I could be wrong because, I mean, again, his dad, he is a legacy of Nebraska, but I kind of feel like all signs are pointing to he's probably hitting the portal. If you're firing the uncle and brother's decommitting, like, I think you find a way to just keep those guys there Dylan's not leaving. And I think the fact they probably know behind scenes he's planning on leaving, so they're just like, yeah, fine, let's just get rid of all of them. It doesn't matter.
I joke about it in the Discord chats. Like, he's definitely going to Texas Tech. Like, he's got to follow in Mahomes' footsteps. Like, the only thing he hasn't done yet is, like, fuck Brittany Mahomes yet. Like, it's the only thing he hasn't done.
That we know of. That we know of.
That we know of. He's trying. He's got it.
I've seen those kids. Can you guarantee that one of them's not his? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, he's just like taking the obsession to another level, man. Yeah. It's kind of borderline weird.
It is. I mean, I've had a lot of look. I'm soccer player my whole life, absolutely obsessed over David Beckham, even shaved my head one time when he did it. But like, there's certain things, like, I didn't get full sleeve tattoos, neck tattoos and everything. Like, there's gotta be a line to the admiration.
Right. Yeah. And just every mannerism and things like, yeah. It's just so weird. I don't know.
I mean, props to him though for doing his research, because I mean he's probably spends more time in the film room studying Patrick Mahomes than he does actually his opponents with the way he's played. So
yeah, that is very true. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about these quarterbacks for sure for going forward and for 2027 especially. But I'm thinking Mendoza's gonna be the only one like of relevance. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the only first round quarterback this year. We could get the possibility that, you know, Dante Moore comes out or something like that. But is there any other quarterbacks that you think come out this year that you think have a shot to maybe?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Sneak in the first round or early round two. Like, do you think Carson Beck had a good enough year to do that or any of these guys?
I don't think so. I mean, I've never been the biggest Beck fan. I think he's a fine quarterback. I think he probably is a day two guy. The only one that I think maybe pushes for that is Nussmeier, even though he had a just god-awful year. And I think he could make the same argument that Matier's made, and even Levitt, if Levitt were to come out, it's like, well, it was the injuries. I mean, Nussmeier, there were reports before the season even started. It was like 3 days before that LSU game. I think, if I remember correctly, they played, I can't remember if it was USC this year or Clemson. I think it was Clemson this year.
Yeah.
In that first game. It was literally like the Wednesday before that game, reports were that he went down in practice with a season-ending injury. That is how serious they thought it was. And then he played the whole season. And toward the end, he got benched, and a lot of it was, well, he's injured, all that. His dad is a quarterback coach, I believe, in the NFL. I believe he's actually
offensive coordinator for the Saints. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, and from everything we've heard, reports behind the scenes, Nussmeier's like, when it comes to film, dude is absolutely brilliant. So I believe that. And I think, you know, if he goes into interviews, he could absolutely kill it. I think kind of my biggest argument against Nussmeier is, like, I just haven't seen him improve on some of the decision making over the past 2 years, last year and this year. So I think that could end up hurting him in the process. But he's the other one because, again, he's just got elite arm talent that, like, maybe a team would take a chance on him, maybe even the Saints, and give him that shot, like, maybe back into the first round. But that's probably it. I mean, again, I love Sam Levitt. I don't think he's done. If Dante Moore or Sellers comes out, I would expect one of both of them to be first round picks. But I think it would, as we've talked about, kind of behoove them to go back.
Yeah. And then we talked about too, you know, when we did the podcast before the season, like the two big ones were Cade Klubnik and Drew Allar. I don't even know if they go in, you know, they're day three picks at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I've been off the Cade Klubnik train ever since I saw him at the Elite 11. I just did not think there was anything special about him. Allar is just different. I blame James Franklin for that so much, because that kid just has so much talent. I still think he gets drafted.
Yeah, I think he will too, but it'd probably be day three.
Yeah, I can't see any way he goes day two. It was so bad. Same thing as Nussmeier, just never improved. But again, I think some team may look at him and be like, well, again, I mean, Franklin said it. I reference this on Camps to Canton all the time. There was an interview he was giving last year as they made that great playoff run. And they were like, do you ever, you know, Drew Allar's got this big arm. Like, do you ever consider letting him just kind of like open it up and throw the ball down the field? And they're like, no, why? Why would we risk it? I think a coach would look at him and be like, how much was that system? How much was Franklin, that play calling, holding him back? Now, granted, he wasn't great, specifically in that playoff game. Whenever they played those tougher defenses, he really seemed to struggle dirting balls, throwing balls over wide receivers. But the overall just like talent is there for him to possibly become like some great player. Like Austin, one of the co-founders here, always comps him to Big Ben. And I think that's a very apt comparison. I think 24/7 Sports had him comp to Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is one of one. I don't think we'll ever see another Josh Allen. But Big Ben, like if they could get that out of him, that's a Hall of Famer, arguably so.
Right. Yeah, I'm just kind of I was just out on him because whenever they played a big team, like he just sucked. He was awful. And that's kind of how, I mean, that's not the only thing I base, you know, watching these guys off, but I want to see them against the top defense. Like, you know, that's why I'm not big on Drew Allar, like, and some of these guys that have come out and just kind of sucked against big time defenses. That's why I did want to see Mendoza against Ohio State because, you can throw up 63 points on Illinois, but let's see you do it against Ohio State. And I thought he held his own against Ohio State. Like, he wasn't bad at all. I agree with you. I think he's a game manager. I know I've heard the comps of Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff, and I think that's spot on, probably. If Stefanski stays in Cleveland, he probably tries whatever he can do to get Mendoza, because that's just like a Kirk Cousins clone. The way he talks and acts and everything and plays the game is kind of similar to Kirk Cousins. So I think if he got, you know, the first pick overall, it's Mendoza to Cleveland is probably what it's going to be.
I wouldn't be surprised. And yeah, I mean, I think I wonder, I'm trying to think if what he is actually rated for us athletically. I'll go ahead and pull it. I don't think, I could be wrong. I just don't think that he's that high up there when it comes to being an athletic player. I mean, he did have multiple rushing touchdowns this year. So like,
he was maybe functional against Ohio State.
I mean, he's got that sort of in his bag, but I don't think. And maybe I'm just misremembering Cousins, because I remember Kirk Cousins being like, there was a couple years there.
Where
he won you fantasy leagues because of that. I mean, we have Cousins at a 0.756 star score, which is very good. And you want anything over a 70. Fernando Mendoza comes in at a 0.558. So, I mean, we think there's a pretty big difference now. Very good arm velo, but like everything else, doesn't have a good speed score, acceleration score, or burst score compared to Cousins. I mean, the top comp for him for us is Kurt Warner, which is still not a bad comp. I mean, if you're talking about comps, that's pretty good overall. Him and Matt Leiner, which again was great. Matt Leiner was a great college quarterback. Didn't unfortunately really make it work in the NFL, but
yeah. I mean, I just kind of watching Mendoza, he definitely could. You know, he has functional movement, like, I don't want to say Joe Burrow, because a lot of people just say Joe Burrow for, like, functional movement, but he's, like, probably right around there. Like, he can get you some yards if he has to run it. He's not like he's a statue like Kurt Warner was that just, you know, just going to stand there and whatnot. But, I think, I don't know if he's worthy of the number one pick overall. I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't, you know, if I had to set up a big board, I don't know if he would be in my top 10, but I think he should be all right. Like, it's not, I'm not thinking he's going to be terrible or anything, but yeah. My only problem with him, too, is I think he's going to need the foundation around him. He's going to need the offensive line. He's going to need the receivers and all that. Going to Cleveland, you're not getting any of that. So I could just see Cleveland fucking destroying him if that happens, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate if they maybe pulled what you've been doing in your fantasy leagues, maybe just trading out of that spot, gathering as many picks next year and trying to take a re-roll on quarterback next year with the class that's coming out and try and build the team right now. Cause you're right. I just don't think I do think Mendoza will be fine, but I don't see him as like a franchise changing quarterback. You had your franchise changing quarterback. Now he's changing Tampa Bay's franchise. So I think you need to probably build before you try and take that quarterback. Cause I just don't think Mendoza's it.
Yeah, because the Browns' offensive line is aging out big time and just, everything. No receivers at all. So, I just think any quarterback who would come here is just going to get killed. So, hopefully they just start Watson or Shador for the next year and be done with it. But we'll see. All right, let's move on to the running backs here. So, the running back class that's coming out this year, not as good as last year's for sure. But there's a couple of decent names in here that I like. Like, obviously Jeremiah Love is at the top here. A lot of people say Jadarian Price is probably number two. So both Notre Dame running backs. We haven't had, the two top running backs going from the same school since Auburn with Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams back in the day. What do you think about those two?
I think obviously Love is probably going to be the prize of the class. Would not be surprised if he ends up going in the first round because he's going to test incredibly well. Had an incredible two seasons here as the Notre Dame running back. Again, will be at the Heisman ceremony. I don't think he'd win it. I actually think he had a chance to had he not gotten injured in that last game. I mean, he was putting up close to 200 rushing yards a game in some of these last games. So might have pushed for it, especially with kind of how lackluster that Big Ten championship game looked with Julian Sain and Mendoza. I think that he's going to be the top back in this class. I still think that he's a little bit boom bust. There are a lot of times where I feel like his vision is lacking. If he doesn't see that hole, he really gets kind of caught behind the line of scrimmage. Now he's got such good burst and footwork that he can get out of that and make a big play. And again, because that speed and burst, he's so good at doing it. But I have some hesitation about him being like a consistent RB1 for fantasy in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I really think he's going to have to go to the right situation because I just don't think that he creates a lot for himself behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I know McShay's talked about it a lot lately that he thinks he's in the conversation with Bijan, Gibbs, Ashton Jeanty up there. He thinks he's that special. So,
I wouldn't say that for me. I mean, again, I think Gibbs has been even better than Bijan, and I would have probably said, like, if you were to have asked me a couple years ago, I would have told you I'd take Bijan over Gibbs in a heartbeat. So
I had Bijan the number one running back in Dynasty when he was at his last year at Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan's special, or was special. I mean, and Gibbs has proven to be just as, if not more special. So I don't think that I'd put him up there. Who was the other one that you said he had him in there with?
Ashton Jeanty.
I mean, Jenty's not been great, though. Like, I don't... Yeah.
I think just coming out as prospects, I think, is what he meant, but...
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, look, from an athletic standpoint, we have him. And we have him in the 99th percentile. I mean,
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He is an absolute. Yeah. I mean, agility, speed scores are off the charts. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if he gets drafted. I can't remember how early JNC went. Was he top 15?
He was sixth right after the Browns. 10.
I don't know if Love goes top 10, but I think he'll be drafted early first round. Again, I think it's really just going to kind of depend on what team drafts him. Because, again, I mean, Jenty's not been great, and he didn't go to a great situation. I think that's kind of hurt him, where I think Gibbs and Bijan are just such elite talents, though, that like the situation wouldn't even matter. They would still thrive. And I just don't know that I put Love on that plane just yet. I'd probably need to see it in the NFL before I would say he deserves to be all the way up there.
Okay. I think that's fair. What do you think about his teammate, Jadarian Price? Do you think is he your number two back that's probably comes out in this class, or do you have somebody else?
I would put Justice Haynes above him, but I do think that Price is in the discussion. Price is a little bit more of a like a game breaker type, that first second down running back for me. He definitely has some receiving ability and a little bit of burst. He's still a very, very good athlete, really good acceleration down the stretch. He's a guy that I think most NFL teams are going to love because he's not afraid to kind of run it up into the hole, drop that shoulder, go up against defenders, where Love's a little bit more of like trying to make you miss running back. Price is not afraid to get his, quote unquote, his hands dirty and kind of go in against those defenders. So I do think teams will love him. But if I had to pick between, you know, two of them, I think Justice Haynes is going to be special. I think we got a chance to see that a little bit this year with Michigan before the injury. Now he's not the, my thing I've always said about Justice Haynes is like, he doesn't have like an elite trait, but he does everything so well. Really good footwork, really good vision, knows when to hit the cutback lanes. He can catch the ball as well. Like he's not going to break, you know, all these massive 20-yard runs, but he's not going to be a guy that typically is going to get stopped in the backfield. He's going to fight through tackles to get you those extra couple yards. Like, I think he's going to be a running back that people fall in love with, specifically NFL coaches, because of his mindset, the way he plays, and the way he runs the ball. But I think it would probably be between those two. I could see people leaning toward Price, mainly because I think he will definitely test better at the combine as well than Justice Haynes. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if Price goes ahead of him on the board, but I think Haynes should be in the discussion.
Yeah. I've also seen that, I forget where it was, but that Haynes was telling people he might be back next year too. So, you know, going back to Michigan. So we'll see if that happens, if he does go back and teams up with, is it Jordan Marshall, I believe it is?
They're running back right now.
Yeah, so that they could just team up again and kind of do, you know, what Michigan did a couple years ago with Edwards and Corum. So we'll see if that happens. Let's see who else. I mean, we got the Penn State guys, Singleton and Catron Allen, and another year where Catron Allen was better than Nick Singleton again. Like, Nick Singleton, I just don't know what to think.
I don't know either. I mean, the problem is he's not improved at all since being a high school prospect. Like, if you were to go read our freshman supplemental guide, the one thing, I don't remember which one of us wrote him up, but I remember the discussions about him. It was, he ran almost in an offense in high school where they literally just like gave him the ball and they were like, just get the edge, get the edge, because you're such a good athlete, you're going to score like a 60-yard touchdown right here. And that's all he would do. It was almost all to the outside. They did throw him the ball a little bit, but he almost never ran it up the middle. And he really seemed to struggle with that at Penn State, never seemed to get better. And I know people fell in love with him because he's such a good athlete and he does remind people of Saquon Barkley. And in fairness to the Singleton Barkley comparisons, for those of you who may not remember, and I still think it's kind of true today, Barkley's not the greatest running back. Like, he is great at making you miss. I think that he is great at catching the ball and making big explosive plays. But like, even his time in college, he was also, in my opinion, did not have the greatest vision, didn't know when to hit certain holes, make cutbacks. But, like, he was such a great athlete, he made it work. So, like, I think if you're believing in Singleton, that's what you're hoping happens for him. I would be very surprised if he gets drafted early. I mean, maybe because he just blows out the combine with how good he's going to test like he does. But I would just be very hesitant to view him as a strong fantasy asset right now. Because again, 4 years in college and guy has not improved in any kind of way. Allen, I don't know really how to view Catron Allen, because to me, he is just a you know, two down bruiser. He's not going to do much outside of that. So again, I think NFL coaches are gonna love the guy.
Love him, right.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, he's the same thing I just mentioned about Bryce. Like, he's going to fight for every single yard. He's not afraid to run it up the middle. But, you know, no real burst, no real long speed. I don't really think he's that good of a receiver either out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy, like, from a fantasy perspective, you're probably hoping for a lot of touchdown luck in the NFL and not a guy that I think is going to ever, like, be the lead back I would expect to be committee, just like he was at Penn State.
Yeah, like you kind of talk about the two-down hammer. Could he just be like Tyler Allgeier and be like a backup, yeah, to, you know, really good backup for somebody? I think that's probably his best bet. But, you know, I think Singleton could be the same thing, because, like you said, he's just never improved. He's never, you know, look at his box score. It's 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 20 yards, and that's about it. You know, it's some of his box scores are just crazy to look at. And then you look at Catron Allen, and like for 2 years now, he's just outproduced him every step of the way. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just consistent.
Yeah. Another one that I thought I liked watching him play. I don't know how good he's going to be in the pros, but Jonah Coleman for Washington, like he reminds me of like Pacheco a little bit. Like, he is just seeking out contact. He wants to run you the fuck over.
Yep.
You know, one of those types of guys. So I liked watching that from him. He did miss some games this year with some injuries. So I don't know if I think he's a senior, so he has to come out, right?
Yes. Yeah. He has to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be in the draft. So I am excited to see where he goes. But I just, after Love and maybe one or two other guys, I think we're going to get a lot of like last year where everyone gets drafted in round four or later again.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be like, you know, does Jam Miller come out from Alabama? You know, again, a lot of questions about him, definitely injury questions. One of the running backs who's actually had a pretty good year also dealt with injury, though, USC's Waymon Jordan. But yeah, he, I believe, has a chance to come back. So, like, maybe he ends up going back for one more
Darius
year.
Darius Taylor, maybe.
Yeah, Darius Taylor. Like, all these guys kind of fit in the same mold. Darius Taylor, he's a bruising running back. He's going to beat you up. Like, he's not afraid to do that. I mean,
he has no burst at all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He does not. Trying to think of who else you got. Emmett Johnson at Nebraska's been having a really good year. So he's another interesting one.
I know McShay's been in love with LJ Martin for BYU.
He's an interesting one. I am a big Martin fan. I didn't realize Martin could come out this year, but maybe he can. I thought yeah, he was one more year away.
Yeah, he says it's on campus to Canton, says eligibility is 2026. So
I
don't know if
so.
He has to stay, but I just heard McShay talk about it. Maybe he just was misunderstanding it or whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think he made it into our freshman supplemental guy, but I fought hard for him. He was a low-end three-star that I really liked, and he has had a very good couple years there with BYU. This was, I thought last year was his freshman year, so I could be wrong, though. But, yeah, he's been really good. He's a running back that, you know, whenever he does get drafted, would be a guy that I would consider drafting with one of my last spots. I don't think he'd be a day-two guy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys are probably going to end up going on day three. It's just kind of how the running back position is, unless you're just an elite guy. But there's definitely a few interesting players in there. I definitely want to take some shots on. I definitely want to see who all comes out, too. Like, Damon Claiborne for Wake Forest was interesting, so I'm pretty sure he's out. I mean, he fell off a mountain this year because he got hurt, but Desmond Reed for Pittsburgh, like, would like to see what happens with him. So, yeah, there's definitely some interesting guys. Is there any other ones that we haven't mentioned that you're kind of interested in?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm trying to think. Bryson Washington, same thing. He's really kind of struggled in the back half. I mean, Jamal Haynes from Georgia Tech's an interesting one for me. I think he's actually out of eligibility.
Yeah, I think he's a senior, yeah.
So, I mean, he's been good at times. I mean, definitely runs a very different system there at Georgia Tech. So, like, there might be some questions about what he does or what he can do at the NFL level. He's an interesting one for me. Again, he can catch the ball as well. So,
mm-hmm. One other one I wanted to bring up before we move on. So, obviously, Lane Kiffin has had a pretty good track record with running backs. Do you think he goes with Caden Durham and what he's got there at LSU, or do you think he maybe tries to flip you know, Kwon Lacy or any of these other guys, or does he go after like CJ Baxter, who said he's leaving Texas today? Like, what do you kind of see for LSU there? Or do you think he could do it with Durham and forget the other guy that's there? Is it Caleb Jackson? I think it is.
Yeah, Caleb Jackson. I definitely don't think he'll do it with Caleb Jackson. Jackson was actually a player that we really liked. And then he went
forgot him.
Yeah. Oh.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Harlan Berry, yeah, true freshman. He's really good. Jackson then ended up putting on like 30 pounds and jumped up to like 240 plus. And he has not quite looked like the same running back since then. I think that he could succeed with both Harlan Berry and Caden Durham. Both are incredible athletes. I mean, Caden Durham, we have as like a 92nd percentile athlete in our system. He's a very good running back. Obviously, didn't quite have the year this year that he has a true freshman. But is a player that I think is really good. And Harlan Berry complements him very well to that as well. Like he's also kind of an explosive back and catch the ball. I don't remember that Durham being a very good receiver. I mean, I love Kwon Lacy. He's a player that I wrote up for our guide. I thought he was going to succeed. Now, for the life of me, cannot remember where he actually committed to because it was not Ole Miss. Man, that
wasn't
sucks.
Was he Missouri or?
It was Missouri. Thank you. Good job. Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. Because Eli Drinkwitz is also one of those coaches who, like, I mean, Ahmad Hardy this year.
Yeah,
always puts his running backs always put up 1,000 yards. And I was expecting Kwon Lacy to be really good there. He transfers out to Ole Miss and just has an incredible season. I mean, literally set and then broke the rushing touchdown record for running backs at Ole Miss this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lane tries to go into the transfer portal to get him, but I don't think he has to. Again, I think he's got two really good running backs in Durham and Berry, but it'll be interesting. I mean, again, I think when you're a player like Kwon Lacy, who kind of got forced to the portal after choosing a school, and then you have a coach like Lane Kiffin believe in you, and then you have the season that you do, I understand if you kind of want to follow him and see how that works out. And I think because he knows the system, he's probably starting, even though Caden Durham and Harlan Berry, I think, are on the same par level, the same level of talent when you discuss the three of them. So,
yeah. Okay. I think that's fair. All right. Wide receivers here. Yeah. Man, I think coming into the season, we kind of thought, this wide receiver class probably isn't going to be that great. It actually turned out to be pretty damn good, and maybe the strength of like the offensive position groups for fantasy this coming year. So I was pretty pretty happy with how the receivers turned out. I think your top three right now, whatever order you have them in, I'm not saying this is my order, but Jordan Tyson, Mekhi Lemon, and Carnell Tate, I think those guys are all first-round picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they all have to be. I mean, Tyson has been amazing when healthy. I mean, Mekhi Lemon. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that there's an argument for Tyson and Lemon as the wide receiver one. I know a lot of people seem to really love Jordan Tyson's fair. He's been phenomenal when out on the field, but like Mekhi Lemon to me is just something special as a route runner. Yeah, like I think he could be the number one. And then Carnell Tate, like I'll give that kid props. I know on coming into this year, I was very hesitant on where I wanted to rank him for our stuff. Like I was like, you know, there's rumors about maybe some like kind of stuff in the locker room about him kind of being a little bit of like a quote unquote knucklehead and not really getting along with some of the other players and coaches. Felt like he did not do anything yak wise those first couple years. Like he was almost become like this possession receiver. And then this year, I mean, you could argue at times was better than Jeremiah Smith throughout the year. So yeah, I mean, he's had a phenomenal year, definitely increased his draft stock and proved me wrong specifically in being one of the best wide receivers in the nation, deserves to be a top, whatever, 10, 15 pick, wherever he goes. Just been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he's the first receiver off the board, to be honest with you. I've seen some mock drafts already where he went, like, number 4 overall. So, I mean, you know, crazy stuff. But, yeah, I agree with you on Tate. Like, his route running is elite. Like, you just go to Ohio State and you're going to, you know, learn how to run routes properly. And he's just another one in the line. Do you think he obviously, you know, Jeremiah Smith is probably light years above Marvin Harrison. We thought was, Do you think he's as good as like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Emeka Ibuka? Do you think he's on that those guys' levels?
Probably. I mean, the one thing with Tate that he has an advantage of over all of those other guys is he's kind of been in the professional development area since high school. I mean, he played at IMG Academy, which is the same thing. Like that's right. That's considered one of the top, like we go around the country to find the best players to bring them in here to develop them to go to the next level. So he played at IMG Academy, then goes to Ohio State, gets everything he does under Brian Hartline and does the way that, that plays the way that he does. I don't know. Like Mecca has been so good. Like, and I wasn't, I, like, I loved Emeka Ibuka. I wasn't expecting him to be as good as he has been. I would probably put him closer to, like, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. Like, I still believe in Marv. I know he's not been great. But if I had to, like, rank him, as crazy as this is probably about to sound as I'm about to, Jeremiah Smith would be number one of all the ones we just talked about. I mean, I think if that dude, and y'all can book it, whatever, we're recording this on a 12 on December 9th at 6:48 p.m. for me, Texas time. If Jeremiah Smith does not work out in the NFL, I'll retire from the fantasy business. I'll sell my campus to Canton Shares. Like, this guy is just incredible. So I think he would probably be number one. I would still put Marv 2, and I think I'd put Mecca 3. And maybe that's just a little bit of what have you done for me lately, but he's just been so good. Then it would probably be Garrett, Chris Olave. So I would probably put Tate. I might put Tate above Garrett Wilson. I don't think man, Garrett Wilson's body control though is just so insane. I don't know that Tate has quite that, but I think just as a route runner and everything, he's like right there in that category with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. I think Tate is, you know, McLaurin was like an elite route runner too.
Yeah.
Obviously he went like the third round though. He's not going to go in the first round like a lot of these guys that we're talking about did. But yeah, I think Tate is probably up there with Ibuka and Olave, and McLaurin is like just a really elite route runner. So I usually like those guys quite a bit. And if he goes to the right system situation, he should be really good.
Yeah.
Mekhi Lemon. Shit, we didn't even talk about JSN. That's another one.
JSN's been phenomenal too.
But that's who I compare Mekhi Lemon to, that just kind of watching him this year. Somebody mentioned that to me. I'm like, you know, that's a good point. Like, I think Mekhi Lemon is kind of like JSN, like kind of similar size, plays the game similarly. Like, I really like Mekhi Lemon a lot.
Yeah, I mean, look, I it's funny. He was, I believe we had him as our second or third ranked wide receiver in his class coming out of high school. We were a little bit higher on him than the services. I know Austin had him as his wide receiver one in that class. And then everybody kind of bailed on him because he just did nothing that freshman year. Like, the only thing he really did was on special teams. Then he had a really good bowl game, I believe, to close out his freshman season. The comp I have for him is fairly similar to JSN, but also a just absolute stud. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I know that's a little bit of like helmet scouting too with the USC thing, but like, he's just so good. And I mean, he just, it's like he could create separation in a phone booth. Like, I just think he's that talented of a wide receiver when it comes to route running, his footwork. It just seems like anytime the ball gets to him, he's got stick-em on his hands. Like, I absolutely love Mekhi Lemon, and he's played with not a great quarterback throughout his time, really in thriving in the past couple of years with Miller Moss. And then Jaden Maiava has been up and down. He's a roller coaster ride at quarterback. And Mekhi Lemon's just produced. I think whatever NFL team gets him, they're going to love him. And that's the reason why I also think he could be better than Jordan Tyson. Well, I think Tyson is amazing, and he's a really great deep threat. He knows how to go up and get the ball. But like Mekhi Lemon, I think you could play all over the formation, and he'll find that separation everywhere. I don't think you could do that with Tyson. So for me, I would probably, I don't think there's a wrong way to rank him. I think all three of them are going to be phenomenal, but there's just something about Mekhi Lemon that I just absolutely love.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So we'll be leading that bandwagon together. Yeah. Tyson, the thing with him is, he's a really good player when he's healthy. When the fuck is he ever healthy, though? He's like, I think he's missed like 40% of his college games or something like that, I was reading. Like, it's crazy. Like, really talented player. I could see him busting just because he can't stay healthy. But, you know, it's sometimes when you go to the pros, too, like, you're always hurt in college, and you go to the pros and you never get hurt. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, the thing with him is, the only reason I started to worry a little bit about it this year is, so his freshman season, he was actually at Colorado. I believe he tore his ACL. It was like on a kick or a punt return, and ended up kind of missing the rest of the season. And then I don't know if he re-injured it or what, but like missed the whole season after that, pretty much just like due to complications of it. Then last season, though, it was a shoulder injury that kept him out. So I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm not going to necessarily want to label you injury prone because it's kind of two different parts of your body. But then this year it was lower leg stuff again. So then I'm kind of like, right. Well, that kind of does worry me. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, again, I think could go into the NFL, maybe get into, you know, pro weightlifting programs, nutrition stuff and everything, and then the medical staffs that they have in the NFL and be perfectly fine. But that is my concern for him, that you just don't have with Tate or Lemon. I mean, I know Tate missed a game. I think it was the Rutgers game. They just didn't need him. There was nothing. I mean, the dude was dressed. They took his helmet from him. Like, I don't think right. Tate's missed a game outside of that. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think Mekhi Lemon's missed one game and it was like a concussion. So like, both those guys have just not missed any time. I would probably lean a little bit more toward them, but I get it with Tyson because out of the three, he's by far the most explosive downfield threat.
Yeah, I agree with that too. So, yeah.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll see. You know, if he tested the combine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I hopefully we get to see that. But some of the other, you know, first round, you know, talked about wide receivers. I think Denzel Boston has a shot to get into the first round.
Yeah.
Jeremy Bernard, maybe. Concepcion's another one that's gotten some first round talk. And then, you know, for the secondary guys, if Eric Singleton Jr. comes out, he's one. Let's see who else was on here. I think, does Antonio Williams have to come out from Clemson?
It says yes,
2025.
He does.
Okay. So he was injured pretty much all year. We'll see what happens there. Chris Brazel, the second from Tennessee. Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely, pretty strong receiver class. Oh, Chris Bell, another one that McShay really likes. Jacoby Lane. We'll see if he comes out. So yeah, there's definitely some really good receivers coming out.
Yeah, I mean, that honestly, the wide receiver class might anchor what we expect or the reason we end up possibly liking this draft class. Like, there's a lot of receivers here that could be good. I mean, Denzel Boston, I think, is going to be really good. He is, for me, in the Keenan Allen kind of territory, like really, really good route runner. I think when it comes down to, like, he doesn't have the most speed in the world, but really good burst, can get downfield. Had a really good season this year with Washington. He's a guy that I think is a player that we should definitely be watching out for. I'll be curious to see how he tests at the combine. Again, I don't think he's going to blow anybody away, but overall, just a very, very talented wide receiver with what he does as a route run and everything. I mean, I get it with Chris Bell. He's an athletic stud. We had a 92 percentile speed score. We have him at a 95 percentile overall athlete. This is the only year that he's put it together, though. So, like, I kind of worry a little bit about him, especially because if you go back through the history of Jeff Brohm wide receivers, he's had a lot of really good wide receivers, and he's produced a lot of good wide receivers. I don't think any of them have ever succeeded in the NFL. The top two that come to my name are the Purdue guys and Rondale Moore and David Bell, but he's had others as well. Neither one of those guys, unfortunately. Now, Moore might have been more just because of the injuries, obviously, also on the little bit of the smaller side on the NFL side there. But I do worry a little bit about Bell because I think he just plays in a system that is really – really good for wide receivers, and I think he probably took advantage of that. I wonder how much of that is really him. Concepcion has really kind of surprised me this year. He was a player I was not expecting to be as good as he was, and then goes into Texas A&M and just kind of becomes the guy. I think he's a player that really good hands, very good route runner. You could play him in the slot, outside. We'll create that separation within the route, but specifically also does a really good job of creating separation at the catch point. So I'll be curious to see what he does. Again, he was a guy that I was kind of off of after he transferred out of NC State. I was like, eh, it's kind of a lucky freshman season. I don't think he's that good. Has just improved every year. I mean, really is the reason Texas A&M is in the playoffs, because Marcel Reed, while he's improved as well, I don't think has the season he has without Concepcion.
Yeah.
Who was the other one we mentioned? Jeremy Bernard?
Yeah. Yep.
I'll be curious to see about Bernard, because he's kind of been up and down too. And I don't think all that's on him. I think some of that's probably been the poor quarterback play from Ty Simpson toward the back half of the season. But I mean, he's a guy pretty decent overall speed. We have him over 21 miles per hour. So fairly good there. We have him at the, what was it? Let me pull it up here. 68 percentile athletic, or the star score athletic index, but a 72 percentile speed can be used as a deep threat. I think he's kind of thrived more in like crossers and comebacks more than anything else. I do think he's got pretty good hands. So he's probably a day two guy. I think I would take Concepcion and Denzel Boston over him, but I would probably lean Bernard over Bell out of the wide receivers we all just mentioned right now. But again, Bell's upside is just so massive because of how good of an athlete he is. Like, I think my biggest issue with Chris Bell is he doesn't run a ton of routes, and I kind of view him as DK Metcalf in a way of like, if he goes to the right system and they're just like, look, we understand that you only run these three routes really well. That's all we're going to ask you to do. Think he could actually be really, really good for NFL fantasy and an NFL team. But if he goes somewhere and they're like, well, no, we want you to do all this, I'll be curious to see if he's able to develop that. Because again, he's been in college for 4 years, bounced around. If I'm remembering correctly, I'm pretty sure he was at Texas A&M at one point. And let me fact check this before I say this, because it's not a great story. And I don't want to say this at Texas A&M. Let's see here. He did. Okay. So he was at, wait, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know here. This is not pulling up the way that I wanted it to, and
I could look it up too. Let's see.
No, okay. So he was not. So okay, that makes it a little bit better, because I thought it was the player that I thought. So no, he was at Mississippi. So I'll be very curious to see what he does, though, because again, he's just not fully developed until this year. And then sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes we see seniors. Terry McLaurin, you just mentioned earlier for Ohio State, was a guy like didn't really do much for Ohio State until that year. And then the Senior Bowl is actually the reason that really kind of shot him up draft boards and everything. So like, sometimes it just takes these players a little bit longer to figure it out. But the fact that it took him this long and it being in that kind of offense is what worries me a little bit about Bell.
For sure. A couple other guys that I'm interested in, if he comes out, Deuce Robinson for Florida State. I kind of think he's just like that big body. He just made a ton of huge plays this year for Florida State. I'm kind of interested to see with him. Thinking, obviously for bigger guys, it's harder to separate and all that. So hopefully he can learn that and get better at that. And then the other one was Elijah Surratt for Indiana. I think he could be like one of those – round three, round four picks who ends up being like a really good pro.
Yeah, Robinson is an interesting one because he is a really good athlete. And when he came out of high school, was a tight end, played tight end and wide receiver that first year at USC, also played baseball. And he's improved a lot over the past couple years, specifically as a route runner at the catch point as well. I think my biggest fear with Deuce Robinson is like, I think he could go one of two ways at his size. And because he's very fluid. He's, again, a very good athlete for his size. He's just listed at 6'5", 222 pounds. So, man, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He could be Kelvin Benjamin. It could be T. Higgins. Like, it could go both ways. So, like, Deuce is, I think landing spot could be massive for him. But I do think he will test well at the combine. And because of that, probably could be a day two guy. So like he is an interesting guy. And then he's a guy who's really, really kind of changed his draft capital and everything. Because if you were to go talk to people about him after his freshman year at USC, where he was playing mainly tight end and everything, I think people would be like, there's no way this dude's even drafted in the NFL. And now look at him. He was the best receiver for Florida State last year and had a really good season. I forgot, who was the other player?
Surratt.
Elijah Surratt. Yeah, I mean, oh, man, Surratt. I'm curious with Surratt because he could have come out last year and he didn't, which makes me wonder if he didn't get a good grade from NFL evaluators and everything. What if it was like a day three thing and he felt he could improve it? Definitely, I would say more of a possession guy.
Yeah.
Really good contested catches will go up and get the ball. I do think he creates a little bit of separation off the line and within the route, but it's not really the best parts of his game. I guess my biggest fear with a guy like Surratt is I just feel like those wide receivers right now in the NFL are kind of dying out. So like, I'll be curious to see where he goes. And if he's ended up as a day two guy, because again, I think with the year he had last year and the fact that he went back, I don't know this for a fact, but usually that is because NFL draft evaluators are saying, hey, like we kind of have you valued here. And maybe it was like round four. And he's like, well, I'll just go back and improve my stock into day two. And I don't know that he showed us anything different than he did last year.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see if he gets in the right system. Like I agree with you. He's probably round three at best.
Yeah.
But if he gets in the right system where he can, I would say he's probably going to be like a starting slot. If he can just work the middle of the field like that, I think he could be pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then we'll hit on tight end real quick. There's not really too many tight ends in this class, but there's some interesting ones. So obviously Kenyon Sadiq leads the class and
yeah.
It was looking pretty bad like the first half of the year, and then Todd McShay called him out and then he went on like a fucking tear. So that was nice to see. So we know he at least has it in him. And then you have Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt, should be pretty high. Michael Trigg, Oscar Delp, Max Clair, Justin Jolly, Jack Endry. So there's definitely some names. I just don't know if any of them are ever going to be like, oh man, I'm going to start this guy on my, you know, Sunday fantasy team every single week.
Yeah, I mean, Stowers is an interesting one to me. He's one that I would be willing to take a chance on. Incredible athlete. I mean, we're talking 90 percentile.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In almost everything, speed scores, burst scores, power scores, acceleration scores, just wasn't used at Vanderbilt. I mean, the quarterback is known for running the ball, cannot throw. So Stowers is one that I think could specifically jump up draft boards even more after the combine, because he's going to blow the combine away. And he's decently sized too. I believe he's like 6'3", 240. So like he's a player that I think could show up to the combine and play and just ball out and then kind of really kind of make a name for himself. I don't think he's been invited to the Senior Bowl or anything yet, but like if he does and he goes, I think that'd be a really good thing for him. Yeah. Trigg's an interesting one. Incredible year this year. Really good offensive tight end. Struggles a little bit with the blocking. Biggest thing with him is like took him a long time to develop. Probably not a negative for tight ends, but also the fact that he's been injury prone practically every year, including this year. So like that is a big thing that people will have to look out for. Yeah, Kenyon Sadiq, I think, is the one that probably you feel the best about when you go in and kind of look at the tight ends. Probably the one I would imagine in most leagues will be the tight end one off the board, 6'3", 245. Big tight end, can do it all, really good blocker, really good offensive weapon. We have him in the 92nd percentile. 90 percentile speed score for a tight end is just absolutely ridiculous. Like he should absolutely blow up and likely be the only tight end I would think that goes before round three in fantasy drafts next year. And same thing, like I expect him probably to be, I wouldn't be surprised if Sadiq's a first round pick. I think he's the only one that has the opportunity to be in this class. Jack Endries from Texas is an interesting one to me as well. Mm-hmm. Very, very good tight end. He reminds me a lot of Antonio Gates, but with like a little bit more speed. Again, same thing for him, was just not able to produce a lot this year, mainly due to just kind of like poor quarterback play. So like, I wonder if maybe he's able to kind of be a guy who shows out. And honestly, same with Max Clair. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't get why he went to Ohio State, because Ohio State just doesn't use their tight ends. But what he did at Purdue was really good. I mean, really good blocking tight end, very good offensively, can create separation within route, very good at the catch point. So I'll be curious to see what ends up happening with Max Clair. Because I as much as I love him being at Ohio State, he's made some plays for us. Like, I think, you know, probably hurt himself a little bit by making that move.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ohio State's used five different tight ends this year, too. Like, I think, like, five of them have caught in touchdown passes this year. Yeah. I think one game, it was, like, four different ones that caught a touchdown. I forget which game it was. But, yeah, there was a lot of those guys. Justin Jolly, too, I think he's had a really good season, so I'm excited to see him. Yeah, Trigg, he went to, he accepted his Senior Bowl invite, so I'm interested to see how he does down there, too. So, yeah, there's definitely some interesting tight ends in this class, but I agree with you, like, Sadiq is probably, like, the only fantasy-relevant one. We might get another one or two, but you're going to have to, like, work for it and find out, like, who that's going to be for sure.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're just going to go based on upside at the tight end position, I'm sure some of that is just draft capital too, right? Like, which tight ends fall to me, it would probably be Trigg and Stowers would be the other two that I would feel fairly good about. Again, Stowers just because he's an athletic freak, and Trigg with what he was able to do, and if one of those guys falls in your fantasy drafts, like, I would feel pretty good about going after either one of them.
Okay, all right, well, let's wrap it up with the college football playoff. How do you see it? Well, first off, do you agree with the committee and their 12 that they came up with? Do you think somebody else should have got in, or how did you see that play out?
So I didn't watch it live, so I don't know what their arguments were for putting in Tulane and James Madison. I think
it's they got automatic bids because of the conference, right? Because they won their conference championship. Pretty sure that was why, because they were guaranteed in.
Interesting. My big thing with them is, yeah, I mean, I know that I would assume James Madison, well, I guess Tulane's ranked ahead of them, so Tulane definitely, because Miami did not win their conference, so they had to go
right
with
that, and they're the only ACC team, so that didn't make any sense to me. So why isn't Duke in? Like, I don't know.
So the way, if I'm remembering correctly, the way this is worded is if an ACC champion is that far down the rankings and they put in the top ranked ACC team in, even though they didn't win the championship. Okay. And from my understanding, again, I didn't watch it live, but I would assume a lot of the conversation was, from my understanding, it was between Miami and Notre Dame for that spot. Yeah. And the reason Miami got in is because they beat Notre Dame in the first week of the season, where both teams are completely different right now. And I would say, if you were watching both of them, sure, this is Miami's. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, this is what they've been doing all season long, up and down, up and down, where Notre Dame was down and has been on a straight shot up. They've been very, very good toward the back end of the season. So I personally would have put Notre Dame in ahead of Miami. But I guess I get it. Maybe you get more eyes on them. Miami fans don't show up to games, so I don't know why you would get more eyes on it. Maybe it's because of the Canes name. But overall, I think, you know, it was fine the way that they seeded everybody. Honestly, I'm glad that they did do it this way. And my assumption is they did it this way because they didn't want Indiana and Ohio State to play early on again. But I'm glad they kept Ohio State at 2. You know, I know a lot of Georgia fans were saying they should have been ranked ahead of Ohio State because they won the SEC championship and they quote unquote avenged their one loss in the regular season. Well, Ohio State didn't have a loss in the regular season. Yeah. And the committee said last year that they are not going to punish teams for losing in the championship games because they have to play an extra one. So in my opinion, I felt Ohio State should have stayed at 2 and not be jumped by Georgia. They did keep that. So, I mean, I think it's fine. I don't think Tulane or James Madison really stand a chance. James Madison's probably going to get crushed by Oregon. Maybe Tulane's able to do something against Ole Miss. I know that they, you know, I forgot who the offensive coordinator is now. I believe it's Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yeah. Yep.
He's gone back from he is technically now LSU's offensive coordinator. He's going back to coach the game with their head coach, Pete Golding, who got named as the head coach there for Ole Miss. So maybe the team will be fine with the same offensive coordinator there. Obviously, Golding ran the defense, now the head coach. I expect him to beat Tulane, but that's probably the only one I see maybe being a fight just because they lost Kiffin, and maybe that throws them into some kind of whatever. But, it's an interesting group. I mean, I think we'll have a lot of two good first round games. I think Alabama, Oklahoma getting a rematch of that from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Should be a good game as well. It's again at Oklahoma. So they get Alabama. I think Oklahoma went to Alabama. So now it's reverse. Mm-hmm. Alabama's got to come to Oklahoma. They went there last year. That was when they were still in the playoff race and they made Jalen Milroe look very, very mediocre. Oklahoma won that one pretty easily. Now they get to try and do that again, but a playoff game. And then Miami going up against Texas A&M. I honestly think Texas A&M probably wins this, and I would say fairly easily. I mean, Kyle Field is a tough place to go into. I just don't think Beck is that good. So I would expect the Aggies to come away with that one.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. With the Ohio State thing too, I was kind of hoping if you look at the bracket, like I was hoping they were like third or fourth because the third or fourth teams, they get to play the five or the six seed, which is Oregon and Ole Miss. So
yeah.
Ohio State at two, they would play the winner of the 7-10 game, which is A&M and Miami. So like, I definitely don't want to see Texas A&M my first game. Like I would have rather seen Ole Miss or Oregon. So, I think that kind of sucked for them a little bit, but I mean, I think they should still be able to beat A&M or Miami, whoever wins that game.
I mean, the one thing with A&M, which is why I think Miami, I think will, when I say this, they'll probably put up a pretty decent fight. The Aggies secondary struggles a little bit. So I think Malachi Toney for Miami could go off. And then the biggest thing is like, if that's the weakest part of your defense, how are you going to cover Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate? I think Ohio State's going to be fine. I'm honestly hoping it's the Aggies. That game will be here in Texas. So like I went to the Texas Ohio State game last year. It was the round after, not the quarterfinal round. But I'm hoping to go to that game as well. But I think Ohio State will handle it. And then it'll just be, cause I expect Georgia to win. It'll be that rematch of whatever that was 2024. Yeah, 2023, 24, whatever it was where, you know, C.J. Stroud, probably the best game of his entire career against Georgia, and then the field goal kicker misses the field goal.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscent of what just happened this past weekend.
Harrison got the concussion, I think it was, too.
Yeah. What I thought was P.I., but I guess Georgia fans disagree with that. But, where Ohio State was dominating them until Marvin Harrison Jr. went out. Yeah. So it'll be a rematch of that game. But I think that'll probably be their tough. I mean, if you're able to get through Georgia – I think that you're feeling pretty good about going into a national championship against probably, I would think, Indiana or Oregon. As I think Oregon probably can beat Texas Tech. And then, I think that's who they'll get right. Is that if Oregon? Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. Texas Tech, Oregon would play, and then I think they would play
Indiana or I would think – I think Oklahoma beats Alabama, and then I think at that point Indiana beats Oklahoma. So, like, it would be Oregon, Indiana. So, I mean, you could literally have a full Big Ten matchup in the national championship, kind of asserting their dominance, even though, you know, SEC, it matters more in everything else they say or whatever, best conference. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. I'm excited. A lot of really good games on the schedule. I think this could be a really fun playoff.
Yeah, so on one side, it's Ohio State and Georgia and Indiana, Texas Tech. So Texas Tech, Oregon, Indiana, winner versus Oklahoma, Alabama, and then Ohio State would play the winner of Miami, Texas A&M, and then Georgia plays the winner of Ole Miss, Tulane. So probably going to be Ohio State, Georgia, and then Indiana and either Oregon or Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're looking at there.
If it's, I would feel, man, it's kind of tough because you would want to say Texas Tech, but their offense is pretty good if Morton stays healthy, and that defensive line is ferocious. So like I don't know that Sain would get the time to get the ball to Tate and Smith, but you would think they'd have a better chance against them. But yeah, it'll be again, I think all those teams are good teams. Whoever makes it in, it should be a very fun playoff run, kind of like last year. I thought there was a lot of really good games in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Who do you think wins it all?
I mean, I've been picking Ohio State since we started doing ours. I think despite the game against Indiana, you mentioned it earlier, was the real only tough team they had to play all year. They kind of got knocked in the face a little bit. I think some of the probably a little bit of an excuse, but I think everything going on with Brian Hartline as well probably threw a little bit of a wrench into the plans with everything going on. I don't think Ohio State was expecting that. But now they've kind of gotten that right. They've gotten hit in the mouth. They've tasted a little bit of blood. I still think overall they're the most complete team out of everybody else in the bracket. So I would expect them to go and repeat. If not them, I would say honestly probably Indiana. I think Indiana's right there too. They've just been so good. And they can score with anybody. And that defense has been a lot better than people expected this year.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, Texas Tech's defense, Indiana's defense, Ohio State's defense, like all three of those are really good. Georgia's defense has been getting better as the season's gone on, too. So, yeah, there's gonna be some really good games. Do you think there's any upsets, or do you think the top four seeds are the final four?
I could see some upsets. I mean, I don't think Indiana gets upset. I think they have, which again, I guess is, well, actually, I don't know. I was going to say they have the easiest. I think Georgia probably has the easiest with getting Tulane or Ole Miss in that first round for them. I could see Indiana getting upset by either Oklahoma or Alabama. And honestly, Texas Tech, I mean, the thing with Oregon is like, I think Oregon's a really good team. They've had a lot of injuries, and there's a lot of reports that they could get most of their players back by that round. If they're able to get like the DeCorian Moores back of the world, all of a sudden that offense state completely changes. They're not relying on their wide receiver threes and fours. They're getting their top guy back, who's also a true freshman. So I could honestly see that whole side of the bracket being completely upset and then end up being like, you know, a couple years ago in mentioning that Ohio State Georgia game, when those two played in the first round of the playoffs, saying like, hey, well, we just saw TCU beat Michigan, so whoever wins this is winning a national championship.
Right.
I could see that happening on their side of the bracket.
Yeah, I think that's probably my one is, you know, Oregon, Texas Tech, like Oregon could win that game. And then, Alabama, Oklahoma could definitely beat Indiana, I think. Yeah. So that'll be interesting, too. Ohio State, Georgia would be a hell of a game, too. I mean, we haven't really, I mean, other than that game you were mentioning, we haven't really played Georgia too much, so that would be an interesting one.
Yeah, it would be.
All right, and then last one, who's your Heisman? Is it gonna be Mendoza?
Yeah, I think it has to be. I mean, it this year has been a very lackluster year from stats and everything. Even if you go back and look at like what quarterbacks were putting up even just a couple years ago, taking the Joe Burrow year out, which is I don't think ever really going to be fully touched with how great he was. I just think it really probably did come down to that game. I know there's been a lot of hype for Diego Pavia. I don't know how you get, like, I get it. What he did with Vanderbilt was incredible. He turned him around, but they didn't make the playoffs. I get it. They were 9-2. He's not a good passer. Like, I just don't know how you give it to him, but I honestly think it's going to come down to Pavia or Mendoza. I think Pavia is going to get a lot of push from the quote unquote crowd of like people who want to see something different. But I think Mendoza, when you take a team like Indiana, you know, undefeated, win their first Big Ten championship since, what was it, like 1980 something? Yeah. Maybe even further back than that. You're the number one seed in the college football playoff. I think he's earned it and should be the Heisman this year.
I think it was like 1949 or something.
It might have been. It's probably been quite a minute since Indiana's won a Big Ten championship.
Yeah. I think it's probably Mendoza. Another thing, too, I wish they just go to 16 teams. And kind of just like their NCAA tournament, you know, you got your 1 through 16 in one side of the bracket. Just do 16 in college football. We could have got Notre Dame in. We could have got, I think Texas is playing really well. They should have probably got in. You know, Vanderbilt, I think, deserves to be in too. And I'm sure there's another team I'm missing in there. But I wish they would have did a top 16 instead.
I mean, you know, the reports are that they'll expand it here in the near future, so we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I, I like the way that it is now. I really don't think we should add any. I think it still gives some, you know, I think what Notre Dame did and backing out of their bowl games a little.
Yeah, I think this is what's going to happen now from now on.
You know, if it does, though, I mean, that just gives other teams a chance to get in. I think that's a little I kind of get it from Notre Dame's point as well. It's like, well, we're not playing for anything. There's no reason for any of our players to go out there and possibly get hurt. You know, I think there's players like Jeremiah Love who probably would opt out.
He wouldn't
anyways.
Even play that. Yeah.
So at this point, why not? But yeah, I mean, you had a lot riding into that last week, not just Vanderbilt, Texas, BYU. You know, if they could have beat Texas Tech, would have been Notre Dame, Utah, even USC was fighting up until last week. A team like Arizona was fighting in the last week. So, like, I think if you expand it to 16, like, yeah, there will be a lot of matches. There'll be some interesting ones because all those teams I mentioned would have made it in outside of Arizona. But, like, I just think you're watering it down a little bit too much. But then again, there's 136 schools in college football right now in the FBS. So, like, 16 schools out of 136 is not that much. So maybe they'll expand a little bit. As long as they don't go above, man, I don't want to say 24 because I feel like that's even too much. But
yeah,
as long
I think
as they don't go
right
above
number.
That.
Yeah, cause it just makes sense what their NCAA basketball tournament is 1 through 16. Just do, you know, a 16-man tournament here. No buys. Let's just go play football. And, I mean, we would have gotten probably, like, Texas would have probably been a 14 or 15 seed. They would have played Georgia or Ohio State first round. That would be a hell of a rematch, you know, for those teams. So, yeah, I think hopefully we get a little bit of a 16 teams. That would be nice. I'd like that, so. But no, Matt, this has been fun, man. I appreciate you jumping on and doing this and talking some of the prospects coming up and college football playoffs. And I'll definitely have you on before the NFL draft like we always do and kind of let the process play out here, find out who's going to be eligible, who's coming in, coming out, all that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. It's always one of my favorite episodes to do with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And until then, go Buckeyes.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go back to back.
Yeah, that would be nice. We got shot three in a row if they could do it. So
trust me, I'm excited. I'm waiting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, Matt Bruning, he's at campusthecant.com. If you guys, you know, play in any Debbie leagues, like if their rankings are top notch, like go over there. They got articles. You're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff over there. And they got all kinds of tools for your Campus to Canton leagues, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys check them out at campusdecanton.com. Do you guys have anything new coming up soon or anything like that?
No, I mean, we've got two new tools that we're working on that will be released next year, but nothing till the end of the year. Right now, the main thing, at least for me, is as being a part of the recruiting team, we're already starting on our freshman supplemental guide. So writing up high school prospects and all that other stuff and then we'll go straight from that into our Devi guide, CFF guide. So we've got all kinds of guides coming out over the next couple months.
Yeah, and those are always really good. So if you're in Campus to Canton leagues and you got your freshman supplemental draft or whatever, that's always a good read for your league. So definitely check that out. I am at Eric Vanek NFL on X. Thanks, everybody, for checking in on this episode. And we'll be back next week for episode 124. We'll see you. We'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.